Welcome. And what welcome feels like, or your experience of welcome, if you wish. Can be a way of practicing meditation. A way of finding an entrance into your being. So feel free to practice that way if it resonates with you. Opening to sounds for a while, if you like, as if the cells of our skin would actually open. A little bit to feel sound waves arriving. Letting the ears rest, letting the whole body hear, if you want to play with that. Sounds arrive. Before we can name them or picture them. Letting the mind picture, imagine, name, but also letting the sounds be heard, if you want. If you want, letting sounds help you hear how now is. How now and here some part of a human being already is. We can hear. Without trying to, we can hear. Whether we like the sound or do not like the sound, we can hear. Alongside liking and not liking, we can hear. So please consider just to let it all go on. Sounds, and then the way that each of us likes or dislikes. The way that each of our minds might picture or say a word, insect, summertime, but also letting sounds be heard by our inner capacity to hear, our receptivity. Our open mind. that sounds already pour through. Like it or not liking it, sounds pour through. Our openness. Relaxing some, if you can, if you want to, if possible. Realizing that softening some of the angles of the body and the mind, hearing can still happen. We can be a disobedient student, and hearing can still happen. Sounds sneak in. They come in anyway. How is it if you let the sounds come to you rather than reaching out to them? If you let it come. You don't have to imagine it coming through you like a vibration through air. You're not air. Sounds. What if we let it come, let the sound come freely from any direction? What if we don't need to catch each one and put each one in a category? What if we let it flow? What if we let our big mind be that powerful, this powerful receptivity? That can receive sounds near and far, inside, outside, all directions, without our trying to. Enjoying the superpower that we have. Sometimes it can help to enjoy our superpower to hear. Each sound richly itself, freely arriving and gone. Like writing on water. And we're there without trying. Sometimes it can help to feel the back of your body. And maybe as if a sense of opening in the back. So inhabiting, being in here slowly, like a drop of water spreading in a piece of paper. presence, tenderness, lightness. Groundedness maybe can start to slightly come into the back of the body somewhere. Or maybe you realize that the experience of your back is already going on and with you and open. Somewhere or all over. That's fine. As if sounds have an easier time coming in simply through the back of us. You could, if you like, stay with sounds, relaxing, softly allowing the superpower of hearing to hear all of this. Like shooting stars, each sound. Or you could, if you like, softly shift to be more into the back of your body, somewhere specific or all over, head to heel. You could imagine with your own hands just gently but pleasantly stroking down the back of your body somehow. The back of your head, the back of your waist, buttocks, back of your legs, heels. Like working with clay, smoothing down. Feeling the wholeness, feeling the landscape, feeling a way inside these cells we call back. If you want. And to let it breathe, if you want. Maybe to enjoy the movements of breathing. Like waves on a shore at the sea. Like a massage. Stretching, compressing, lifting, lowering. The breath inside the back of the body could be a way to practice. perhaps enjoying the rhythm of breathing, like the way someone might rock a child to sleep, letting busyness have a nap, letting pressure on yourself have a rest. Letting disliking of whatever of your life fall asleep, feel gravity melt down into the earth. Enjoying what is left when busyness and pressure and criticism fall asleep. With the rocking rhythm of your breathing. And at the same time, allowing each wave of breath to be different, fresh, strange relaxation and freshness together. A strange falling asleep of our usual programs and agendas. Enlivening what else? Perhaps after a while with sounds and or the back of your body, you might find your way towards the lower body or lower belly, or even lower down. Hips, legs, feet are all good places to kind of soften and find a way to slip inside the cellular living here. Maybe placing a hand on the lower belly can be helpful sometimes, if it's comfortable. Maybe sounds are accompanying your journey of going into yourself. Into the heart of life. Through receptivity to direct sensations or sounds. Letting sounds come to receptivity, letting sensations draw their signature in this moment, just now. Coming to meet receptivity. Maybe with a wow, a little bit of wow about your receptivity. Open mind. Already receiving precisely and freely. So much sound, so many sensations. Just now, and letting them be gone instantaneously, in the instant, just now. Letting sounds and sensations come find you. Help you find or experience yourself in this instant. Precise and free. Precisely, freely, yourself. Open-ended stream. Dynamic, simple, open-ended stream of yourself. Gradually, you may find as you trust, as you allow your receptivity, your awareness that's already occurring, as you allow your receptivity, your awareness to receive sound and sensation. Specific and freely arriving, freely gone sensations or sounds. You may find after a while you could rest upon the receptivity itself. You may find it more restful to kind of merge with that awareness, where sounds and sensations occur like writing on water. When you're distracted, the part of us, that awareness that can notice that I was gone, is a friend. And we can come home with that friend's help. But even the distractions are very interesting insights about the nature of the human mind and body, that we're not in control. So maybe we can bring in some laughter, some humor of how in control we may believe we are, and then our experience teaches us another time a little bit more about reality. Resting into receptivity, allowing the already open mind to receive sound and sensation and distractions. We can laugh a little bit about our ideas of control. We can feel for the roots of them. And we can start to get a sense of something better than control. Something more enlivening, more alive. And here, already. Already here, and sometimes our conscious thinking self can rest into receptivity, open back of the body, mind, awareness that's already going on in the background. Then we're distracted, something notices I was gone and leaves the door open for me to fall back into the earth, into place, into receptivity. May there be peace, inner and outer. There's some time now for questions or sharing, and I received a note with one question to start with, and it was about the breaks, the times when there's not something on the schedule. It's a great question. And I would say it depends on how you're treating yourself inside the schedule. If you're really enjoying being connected to places in the body or opening to sound. then that could be continuous, more or less, through the whole day and night, if that's enjoyable, if it's refreshing, enlivening, interesting. If you find more that you're maybe struggling or trying too hard fairly often, then maybe use the kind of quality of break. Give yourself a break. Enjoy a break. Maybe find somewhere lovely to have your feet on the grass and let your eyes wander. Where do they land? Feel the air, find a few textures. Be spontaneous. Okay. So the whole time are different forms of putting into practice what we value, what each one of us values. And just keeping track, if you're someone who likes to be a good student and tries too hard, or likes rules a little too much, that kind of thing, then the break is a break. And the teacher said so. You're not allowed to be serious during the break. If pressure builds up, then the breaks can be a good time also for some kind of movement. There are one or two questions about whether it's okay to do something stronger, like a stronger physical exercise, like jogging or whatever. And yes, it can be really complementary. Being aware of where there's some kind of should or agenda, like on the retreat, I'm going to get in shape kind of thing. I'm going to finally stop eating carbohydrates or whatever and have a six-pack by Saturday. Just noticing that if it comes. And not being pushed around. Are there any other questions anyone would like to ask or anything to share? Did I keep my volume up enough? And yeah. Yeah. So the question is, that there's been a reframing of what meditation is, and there's still a wondering of what it is. What are we doing when we say, I'm sitting down or lying down to meditate? So what do you find so far? So let me repeat what you've said so far so I don't forget. And you can make sure I understood you also. I lost the beginning already. Can you hear? Maybe I don't need to. You cannot. Okay. But what you said before was also really interesting.
I was saying that if everybody can hear me, you don't have to repeat.
I think it's difficult. Yeah.
I was saying that like something in me tries to differentiate, and meditation is something that where I concentrate, as opposed to lying down here and just relaxing.
Okay. So one concept of meditation is concentration. And another experience today, or yesterday and today, was lying down with the idea of not effort and hearing my voice and letting the voice come and relaxing. And are either of those meditation, or both of those meditation, or what is meditation? What you also said before was some sense of coming here and telling myself, okay, now I meditate. The word meditate, I'm meditation, as a very simple kind of intention, we could say. And by saying, I'm going to go meditate, here I am, now I'm going to meditate, or now I'm going to meditate. it seems to invite something different to happen from if I say I'm going to go space out. Or even I'm going to just go relax. I'm going to meditate and then I just relax. That's a little bit different, or sometimes very different. So what meditation is very hard to put into words. How we practice towards meditation, there are so many ways, and that also makes it hard to talk about. But I'll try to reduce a little bit. So I understand meditation as a natural state or set of states. So it comes naturally to us, but we need to also make some steps for us to fall into that. Some people have more need. It's like if there were lots of different gardens and they've all had different things happening all along, and here we are. Some of them are too full, some of them are too dry, etc. And so what might be helpful to do to bring out the flourishing, the well-being of the garden, will be different in each case. But most of us have at least partly been trained to be distracted. The idea of our energy and our mind, our interest, our attention, including worry and fear and anger, forms of attention, in many directions at once, all the time, almost. So gathering can be a helpful practice, going against the habits and the training. I like words like gathering more than concentration, although concentration's a beautiful word to center with. So centering, but concentration to me gives a very mental association flavor. And that's not enough. A mental concentration is not enough for meditation. It sometimes is all we have to start with, is starting to get to know the mind by asking the mind to be quiet or asking the mind to be with the sensations of the belly, and then it's not, and then is it, or am I making it up? Like that, a process of getting to know the mind by giving it a task starts to open up. We start to realize, is the mind actually necessary for sensations to be felt in a live way? And getting to know sensation. And then gradually getting to know awareness. Awareness is different from attention, but attention can help us discover awareness. So most of us need some practice of gathering, and I'm not here saying lie down and do nothing and no effort. But finding the amount and quality of effort going against the grain of our habits. So it's a very different kind of effort that I find is fruitful, and that's a whole discovery process, which can be really, really cool, each insight along the way, of how much less we can do than we thought of what feels like work, and how much more power we have in us than we thought to stay, even in a storm, or even when there's nothing to hold on to, as two examples. So concentration and mindfulness are usually practiced as paying attention to something, sensations or thoughts, for example. They are like one leg, but not the only leg, to start to walk towards meditation, which, again, we can consider a built-in capacity that needs to be woken up. Most of us also need to practice and play with the quality of the inner atmosphere. Most of us have been taught to be really mean, mostly to ourselves, and to practice feeling permission to be well, to feel loved, to feel at home. That's, again, the 90% thing. So to practice love, let's say, or practice friendliness is really important. Without that, concentration is just mean. And mindfulness starts to just be control. And it's like as if we want to be a robot. We don't want to be a robot. So practicing gathering in a way that's juicy for you. So if it's more juicy for you to be with sounds sometimes or most of the time or always, great. If it's more juicy for you to be with your feet, great. If you're not sure, keep playing with different things and eventually laying the pressure off, it will come back to you. Sometimes literally a memory from childhood when you felt well in your own way. And it suits us so well. It's like wearing clothing that's soft and fits so well, it feels like you almost have nothing on. So it's really hard to notice, especially when we really want to notice. We're really like, but I don't know what's juicy for me. And we're a little freaking out about that. It will be hard to come back to your natural ways of connecting with aliveness. But slowly, slowly, it does come back to us. And slowly, slowly, we can recognize, what if that way that I love to just look at the tree and the wind is part of my path? What if that memory when my grandparent put a hand on my shoulder was someone had a, I can't remember actually if it was a dream or just a kind of image feeling like a dream, that their grandfather put a hand on the shoulder. And it's not about the hand on the shoulder so much as the feeling of that moment. Kind of, I think they use the word blessing. And then that image comes to you. You don't have to figure out, was that in 1972 or was that spring or summer, but just the feeling of that, accepting that, the gift that came, that popped through our resistance to our own deeper knowing. And then gradually your path starts to come together and you gain confidence in following those clues that come towards a way that's a way of being that's quiet and enlivening and very direct. And it's also got the contrast of really tender and really powerful, like the kind of generosity that can come through is really surprising. So it's kind of also another way to say it would be getting used to, in one sense, being an individual with really specific, a really specific path, for example. You resonate with really specific things. But it'll help you come back to a really common place in a human being, so to speak, or frequency. And then you can have a different sense of individual, like you're having a reframing of what is meditation. It's a reframing of what is a human being. It starts to feel and be much more like a cell in an organism rather than a separate cell crawling around. And the generosity then is equally can be towards the cell or towards another cell. It's fun. But it's the eye is not there keeping track of what's happening. So that's why it's really hard to talk about. I mean, we can't really. But we can try to give some clues, and each person really honestly feeling what you resonate with. Trying any practice, it's like knowingly taking on an artificial technique. Feel your belly, feel your feet, listen, open to the sounds. Practice love. We're deliberately but honestly taking on something artificial. But it kind of resonates more closely with something, the natural state. And then we let it resonate like instruments in the same room, and we let the technique be less and less important, and that naturalness can overwhelm all the resistance and habits and so on. Slowly, slowly. So I would suggest finding that like very light, less mental if possible, kind of placement. So if, for example, in the lower belly, there's usually not so much going on. If there's a lot going on, somewhere else might be better. The feet, the lower back, the chest, the hands are examples, or sounds, or an inner word or image that you resonate with. That's like a summary of some of the possible ways. And then playing with how softly you can land there, with what little tiny thread can you stay even when thoughts are going. I often feel that it's like being on the sea floor, becoming the sea floor. So like sea floor, like the bottom of the ocean. Become like a sea creature that's just, this is where I belong. And then being the sand. And then the lower belly is like a, as if a little bit of sand gathering together into a little tiny mound of energy, of a magnet, of, and kind of letting that magnet hold a little bit together while all that is going on. There can be thoughts up there, feelings over there, story going, whew, sounds, space, people, and then still this kind of little tiny center of a star or something. Enjoying the inner gravity. So finding your way with that. And I would love to hear from anybody. If it's not making sense to you, or it does, but you want to clarify something, let's clarify it if we can. So it's, we do something artificial on purpose to start to vibrate with, so to speak, something really natural. So natural that it's really hard to notice it. And then as we come into it more, or let it come into us more, and be the sort of consciousness that our body bathes in, so to speak, it usually can be really pleasant, so then it is noticeable. But there's nothing to, as we notice it, it might be gone again. So, that game. Okay? Thank you. So we have walking practice now. And it would be great if Odelia G would just in Hebrew say a few suggestions for walking practice. Her Hebrew is a little better than mine.
נראה לי קצת בהמשך לדברים שג'איה אמרה עכשיו על, על מדיטציה כאן, על איך להזין את התרגול במדיטציה בהליכה. אז אולי אני אתחיל עם עמידה, בעצם, שקצת דיברנו אתמול, כדרך לפתוח את התחושות של שלנו של רגליים וגוף עומד, רגליים וכפות רגליים, חיבור לאדמה, ובכלל זה יכול להיות מעניין או מועיל זה לטבל לזמן סביר דקה או כמה דקות בהתחלה או באמצע של ההליכה ולשחק עם האפשרות הזאת שמשהו יודע לעמוד ולא ליפול, אבל בכל זאת אפשר להרפות, כמו שני כיוונים. זאת אומרת, איך זה ש... כאילו זה לא קורס, אבל אפשר, יש איזושהי תנועה עדינה בפנים, בכתפיים, באצבעות, בבטן, שאפשר להזמין הרפייה, שחרור כלפי מטה. ואז כאילו לא קורה כלום, אבל קורה משהו שהוא לפעמים קצת מעניין ומספק ומחבר את חוטי ההקשבה אל תוך הגוף באיזושהי צורה. ולגבי ההליכה, אז לפעמים כשאנחנו יותר כבר בהקשבה, אז זה נהיה יותר מעניין או מספק או משחקי גם לבדוק את הדבר הזה, זאת אומרת, איך הגוף יודע לעשות את זה בכלל, מה זה? זה קורה, אני לא קורסת, אני לא מתכננת, אני לא מסבירה לעצמי, כאילו מה זה הדבר הזה, גם לשקוע קצת אל תוך הטבעיות, וכמו שג'איה אמרה אתמול, זה יכול לקרות יותר טוב באיטיות, או זה יכול לקרות יותר טוב דווקא במהירות, אבל מה מזמין אותנו להרגיש, להמשיך להיות באיזשהו חיבור עם האקט הפיזי, התחושתי של הליכה. ואני מזכירה את הדברים באמת שנאמרו, של כל כך הרבה דרכים לתרגל הליכה שהיא לא תהיה כמו שאנחנו הרבה פעמים הולכים בלי בכלל להיות בהקשבה ו... רק המון המון מחשבות על מה היה ומה יהיה ומה צריך לעשות. אז מה מזמין אותנו לזה? זה תחושות גוף, או זה להיות יחפים על הדשא, או זה להיות בפינה מסוימת מול הרבה פרחים, או מאוד קרוב לעץ מסוים, או הרבה יותר העיניים. זאת אומרת, כאילו לתת הרבה חופש וכבוד לאיך, מה יקסים אותי, מה ישמח אותי, מה ירקח אותי, מה יזין אותי, מה חדש לי, מה מנחם אותי. אז באמת הזמנה לשחק עם הדברים האלה, תחושות גוף ועיניים, ולתת לעולם להיכנס דרך החושים.